And we are back with show number 263 of The Critical Myth. I am John, your host, and tonight we have...
Edmund from Greenville, and I think NBC's looking for programmers, or if they aren't, they should be.
This is Gary from Jacksonville, and all of a sudden, cable's not quite as amazing as it used to be. Network's coming back a little bit, albeit very slowly, very, very slowly.
And this is Brunslam from Australia, and I will agree with the comment about networks being okay and stuff when October 17th rolls around properly.
All right.
Until then, it will simply be October 17th in my heart.
And what is October 17th, for those who may not get the reference?
That's the day Community returns.
There you go.
October 17th, 2012, the premiere date for Community Season 4. Wait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you might be right if you were talking October 17th, 2014. But at any rate, to go from that disappointment, we are going to be talking about the winter and spring TV schedules because we are about to get deluged with quite a lot of new material in the next couple weeks. Basically, by the time that you've heard this, things have already started more or less in earnest, and it's just going to keep on coming. So we are going to give you our preview of the things that we see on the schedule that we are interested in and that you'll probably hear us talk about either here on the show or on the website in some way, shape, or form. But first, just to let you know where we're going to talk about all this, you can follow along. Our friends over at the Futon Critic have their winter guide. There's a link right at the top of their main page. You just click on that, and you can pretty much scroll down, and you'll know what we're talking about. But I'm just going to be picking and choosing as we go along here, and the guys will be helping me out. So we're going to start on Monday nights, and let's see if we start with the very top here. The Bachelor and Dancing with the Stars continue to invade our TVs. We'll leave that alone, but for Castle fans, your fifth season has returned as of the 7th of January.
And we I just started watching it, and it's great. Why didn't you guys turn me earlier? I don't understand.
Oh, shush it.
Why didn't you tell me it was that good?
I have been telling you.
Oh, my gosh. It was so great. By the time I made it to the convention episode, I was feeling like...
I know. How awesome was that?
Yes. We all know the convention episode.
Yes.
For those who haven't seen it, you had an episode where they investigate a murder at a convention. The murder victim is, I believe, played by Patricia Tolman. The captain of the starship in the cancelled science fiction show is played by Ed Quinn, better known as Nathan Stark from Eureka. And it's pretty much worth it, if nothing else, for Nathan Fillion's character to rattle off the list of television shows canceled too soon. Star Trek, that Joss Whedon show.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I don't regularly watch this show. It's not really my genre, but I have seen selected episodes, particularly because they let you know well in advance when they are going to be giving out a shout-out to all of the Firefly fans and Joss Whedon fans in general. They're extremely good about it. They definitely know what they've got in their back pocket, so they use it constantly.
It's still not quite as awesome as the time that Castle spent the entire teaser of an episode dressed as Mal, but it's good.
Yes. I saw that one, too. At least the teaser, anyway. All right, well...
It was like 5 years ago.
Yeah, right? Well, yeah, it was first or second season, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's see. Also coming back on the 14th of January is the remaining part of the 8th season of How I Met Your Mother, which if it's not coming to a conclusion soon, I'll be shocked because it really feels like it is on its victory lap here. Let's see.
Yeah, they
Yeah, it's kind of running. It's run its course and it needs to hit the finish line. The NBC, aforementioned, what are the programmers thinking moment? Let's see, The Biggest Loser and The Voice continue to dominate Monday nights, but then we have Revolution continuing its long mid-season hiatus, which will no doubt cripple it entirely.
What in God's name are they thinking? Was it March 25th?
It had really high ratings. Everybody will watch it when it comes back.
You know, I believe me, while I definitely wish that the event was dead, they pulled the same thing with the event, and the ratings dropped into the basement. They were doing reasonably well. They go on this hiatus, and it never came back.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that was a show they pimped to high heaven.
Right.
And so...
I have a feeling this is going to kill the momentum that they had, what little they were retaining. And I don't know that we need another, I think that Deception, which is in the time slot, is another one of these Shonda Rhimes shows. Is that right?
Yeah, as well.
Yeah, it's a primetime soap.
Well, it might as well be another Shonda Rhimes show. It's not actually produced by her, but it basically falls into the same mold from what I can see here.
It's kind of Shonda Rhimes, and then Revenge Ripper.
Right. Oh, great. Those two would make a great pair, I'm sure. Let's see. Fox continues to have Bones on the schedule, returning on the 14th of January, season 8.
I thought that finished already. No, this is the last season?
Not. I don't know if it is the last season or not. I think that there's talk that it may not be. So there's another Joss Whedon alum getting quite a nice lengthy post-Whedon series. Now, The Mob Doctor, I guess, is kind of slumping into its final days. And then there is do we call this the Kevin Bacon vehicle? The following?
This is one I'm actually looking forward to, because they've found a good way to do the whole Silence of the Lambs shtick that TV shows love to do without going down the exact same procedural path as something like Criminal Minds, by actually having an antagonist who could be present all the time.
Hmm. My only worry is that this is a Kevin Williamson show, and while certainly he did a great job with The Vampire Diaries, there's other things that he's done that has just been kind of terrible. So I'm on the fence with this one. I probably won't wind up watching it, but I'm not sure how we're going to... how many of us are going to be watching it, or how much it will be handled. It seems to have a good cast, but again, Kevin Bacon, too, is also a little bit of a... sometimes he's good, sometimes he's really not type of actor, so... at least in my opinion. But we'll see. It's getting pimped pretty hard by Fox. Surprisingly so, for a mid-season show, so... we shall see. Oh, speaking of mid-season shows and things that could tank horribly very quickly, the CW is starting The Carrie Diaries.
Ugh.
Oh, I know. We were all looking forward to a prequel to Sex and the City.
Oh, sweet.
Network TV.
You know what, John? As much as I hate to do it, I'm going to have to disagree with you. It's going to be insanely popular, bloody...
I certainly hope not. I think this will fail purely on the fact that the lead actress does not look nearly enough like a horse to be the young version of...
Ooh, that's a little harsh now, don't you think?
No.
I mean, we never really went after people physically. We said that the shows were lousy, the writing sucked, the special effects were horrendous, but we've never gone for personal attacks before.
No, in this case, it's a fairly common observation. So, it stands.
All right. I just like to be noted my objection, that's all.
Okay. Next time we talk about Lost, we...
I always note my objection then, too.
Speaking of Lost, I didn't bring it up completely without reason. A&E is starting on March 18th. Carlton Cuse's new show, Bates Motel, which I'm not sure whether or not that needed to exist, but I am somewhat curious to see how a show around Psycho and its mythology is going to pan out. But at any rate...
It's basically going to be Fawlty Towers with, more violins.
And violence, hopefully.
that too.
Yeah. For those who are interested in it, my wife is a big fan of this show. Switched at Birth returned for its second season on the 7th of January. A somewhat surprisingly watchable show on ABC Family. It has its moments. Let's see. Now we're definitely delving into cable. And let's see what's on Monday nights. I think we all know that Monday nights on cable are dominated by sci-fi. And let's see. We've got quite a triple booking here. For those who remember us talking in effusive praise about Continuum, it is finally hitting American TV airwaves on sci-fi at 8 o'clock on Monday night, starting on the 14th. So, this is coming out a couple days later, so if you did not watch it, please go and try and find it on demand or wherever you have to. See a rerun, it doesn't matter. Get involved. Get into this show, because it is definitely one of those treats that they brought down from the wilds of Canada.
Yes, liberate your mind and give it a chance.
I see what you did there. All right. That is followed on the 14th of January by the third season premiere of Being Human. And as much as we were all somewhat perplexed by the way that they chose to end the second season, I think we're all looking forward to what Jeremy Carver is. No, it's not Jeremy Carver, is it?
Well, he's back on Supernatural.
He's on Supernatural. So what the new showrunners are going to do now that they've had this toss-up. I hear that they are going to throw a bit of a curve at us right from the start. So
it's been an incredibly solid show from the get-go. We had, the only episode in season two that was that we had any significant problem was that last one.
Right.
Yeah. That whole thing. Why wasn't the next to last episode?
Right. Exactly. They kind of pushed it a little too much and tried to shove it back into where the British show was going, even though it didn't really need to go there. But I have a feeling that they're going to diverge pretty quickly right out of the gate. So, as I said, I've kind of got an inkling as to where they're going to go with it, and I was a little surprised by what I heard. It was mainly some casting things that I had heard, so that was somewhat interesting. Also coming back, and boy, this is interesting because Lost Girl is coming back for season 3 on the 14th, but instead of being several months after the Canadian premiere of the show, it's only lagging about a week behind the Canadian premiere, because our friends up in Canada saw the premiere last week, as of this recording, and it's going to follow up just a week later here in the States. So we'll still have the potential of being spoiled, but certainly, it's not as bad as the entire season running before we get to see much of any of it.
Now, have they started the Kenzie spinoff yet?
No, I don't
think
so.
Okay, all right. Okay, just check.
But, now, of course, some of us have seen the first episode, and I think it's interesting where they're going with this. I know that they're taking a few episodes up front in this season to kind of establish the new status quo, so... Bronze Thumb has already provided us a nice little review that will be going up as soon as it airs here in the States. All right, let's see. Going from there, I don't really see anything else on Monday nights of note. Anything else that you guys see that I may have missed? And please don't make it RuPaul's Drag Race. I'll leave that to Rob on Orange Lounge Radio to talk about. Okay, I think Mondays are tapped, right?
Yeah, well, as an Anthony Bourdain fan, we have the last few episodes of the layover before he jumps to CNN after they Travel Channel messed with him on the last episode of No Reservations.
Anyway. Okay. Now, but that'll be done pretty soon, I assume.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That'll be done in a couple of weeks. So.
Mm-hmm. I will say that I'm mildly intrigued as to how they're going to handle Larry Hagman's death in terms of the second season of Dallas, but not enough to watch the show.
Well, if I recall, it wasn't he shot? Oh, sorry.
And moving on to Tuesday nights.
Oh, if they went there, I would love it.
Wow. Yeah, that would be one way to do it. Let's see. Some of us are still being forced to watch at least what is left of Private Practice on an irregular basis. But that show is ending. Let's see. Tuesday nights, I mean, in the fall, were really sparse. I mean, when Covert Affairs was not on, there really wasn't a whole lot going on Tuesday
You're telling
nights.
Me. You're telling me.
Yeah, and I don't see it changing very much at all. We've got, for those who remember the wildly inconsistent show Smash, that will be coming back on February 5th. I know that show had its fans, or at least guilty pleasure watchers. I'll just say Catherine McPhee should be on more shows, but anyway. The New Girl, speaking of actresses that I like to see on TV, continues to go with Zooey Deschanel and her ensemble there, settling in very nicely. And
I think Nick has out-crazied Schmidt. I didn't think it was possible, but it's happened.
It's a lot of fun to see these characters really coming into their own. It's been a lot of fun to watch this show.
They've developed the ensemble, and in sitcoms, that's pretty much what makes or breaks. I mean, just about anything trying to do comedy is because you can't just hang all the funny on one person unless it's going to be something like Mork and Mindy, where you just have someone like Robin Williams come in and do their thing for an hour, and then it's not really a sitcom.
Hmm.
So, moral of the story is really good ensemble.
Yes, absolutely. Now, speaking of good casting, You know, we talked about The Following, and the only name that really jumped out on that cast was Kevin Bacon. I know that there are a few others that are probably notable to some, but on the whole, that he is kind of the leading man on that show. But there is a little bit of a theme in the mid-season shows this year, cultist followings and so forth. As we can see, the CW has a show coming out called Cult. Yes, but what's interesting here is that, let's see, let's just go off of the producers. We have Josh Schwartz, Rockne O'Bannon, that come right up. And then on the cast, we have Robert Knepper, T-Bone from Prison Break. We have Alana Tall, who was on Supernatural. Joe was her character there. And then we have Matt Davis, who was one of the more celebrated members of the Vampire Diaries cast. And as everyone knows, if you're on that show for more than a year, you've actually got some longevity as far as that show is concerned. But yes, so three names just jump out at me right away. And you've got the pedigree of the producers there, especially Rockne O'Bannon. That interests me a great deal. So while The Following may have intrigued you, Bronze Thumb, this is the show that I feel like could be a little bit of a dark horse. As always,
I can definitely see that.
Yeah, it's so easy for us to dismiss the CW when they have a new show, especially when we just talked about the Carrie Diaries. But this is another example.
It's going to be replacing Emily Owens, MD.
Yeah,
which was one of the shall we say not so critically beloved shows of the first half of this season.
So the CW can only go up. That's what you're saying with this particular production.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think this is another example of maybe the CW having a reputation for very disposable entertainment, but being really a very friendly network for genre material. Because at this point, more than half of their schedule is genre in some way, shape, or form. Let's see. Then we can go ahead and turn our attention to cable. And I'm going down the list. And down the list. Still waiting. Ah, here's one. Justified is coming back for its fourth season on the 8th of January. So by the time that you hear this, we will probably already have at least one review up on the website. Anyone here watch Justified?
No, much as I keep hearing how good it is, I have not delved into it yet.
Yes. Justified is that show that if you listen to Pod Culture, also on the VOG network, ding, then you will hear about how they talk about that. No, not all of Kentucky is like Justified.
I don't believe them.
Neither do I, strangely enough. But yeah, certainly it has. I think it's Timely Oliphant is the...
Yes, is the
lead guy there. So I always hear great things about the show, but it's much like Breaking Bad and a few of these other things. I just never have really gotten to it. So let's see. Skipping right over Doomsday Preppers, because boy, does that sound just a little behind the times now.
Suck it, Mayans.
Yeah. Yes. Wearing my I Survived the Mayan Apocalypse t-shirt as we speak. Let's see. Yeah, White Collar is another show that we have reviews for on the website. Our friend Greg puts his reviews up for that, and that returns for the second half of its fourth season on the 22nd of January. So that is pretty much Tuesday nights. It's kind of sparse, not a whole lot going on, but I am interested in that show Cult, and I have a feeling that Smash will continue to be a guilty pleasure. Yep. Certainly as musicals go, it's got to be better than Glee. So
I would disagree that there's a huge dip in stuff to watch on Tuesdays, because looking through the thing, that seems to be where a ton of the comedies that I watch are on, and they're actually pretty decent. You've got on ABC, you've got Happy Endings, and you've got Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23. Happy Endings is a pretty solid ensemble, and you can tell that the writers are just like huge film buffs. Don't Trust the Bee has the two main actresses are a pretty solid, pretty funny odd couple, but easily the most interesting, hilarious thing about the whole show is that one of the stars is James Vanderbeek of Dawson's Creek fame playing himself.
Ah, I do remember you mentioning this before.
It's pretty funny, like just playing this complete, slightly insane, washed up, jerk celebrity version of himself, who is just a friend of the characters and lives nearby, and it's just like, dude's got comedy chops, like absolute kudos. It's really, really funny. Then there's also Go On, which I think I mentioned at the when we were doing this at the beginning of the 2012-2013 season, which is the new Matthew Perry show, part of his ongoing campaign to please be back on Studio 60. Yeah. And that's another one that's pretty funny and good supporting characters, and not one of the best things, but it's pretty solid. The return of Cougar Town. Although, sadly, they didn't take the opportunity to change the name to Wine Time, which is, let's face it, the real name of the show.
I thought it was because Cougar
Town was on... it was either that or it was Scrubs in Florida with Wine.
Hmm.
So said the title card in one episode. But the reason that one's sort of interesting was I believe they were on NBC or ABC, and they got canned and then picked up by TBS.
Yeah, it was ABC.
So that's ABC, okay.
So does that mean the production values are going to go down?
In the first episode back, the title card, because they do a different gag on the title card every week, and this week was welcome back to Cougar Town. Thanks, TBS. Can we swear now? They didn't, but it was a good effort.
Okay. I mean, certainly I almost never watch comedies unless there's a definitive hook to it. But certainly, for those who are more on the comedy bent, those are some other choices. With Mondays being kind of packed, it's more likely, I would say, that's going to be my spillover night on Tuesday nights. But fair enough that there's plenty of comedy out there for those who are still looking for that sort of material. So, let's see. Wednesdays. This should be interesting. This has a little bit of everything, I would say. For those who are still talking comedy here, Modern Family continues its fourth
season. Yep. Yeah, I'm a regular watcher. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, the most recent one I watched was the New Year's episode with Billy Dee Williams, and I'll just leave it there. It's worth seeing on your own. Let's see, Bronstom, any of these Wednesday night shows that you watch?
Comedy-wise. Nothing jumps out.
No. Okay.
Nothing jumps out. Though if I do see something, I will shout out.
Great.
Yeah, I mean, gotcha. I will just mention I do not watch it, but Suburgatory, of course, does have Firefly, Lom Allen Tudyk.
Yes, that's true.
It does, however, I've heard that it's not a very good show.
Hmm.
Yeah.
This is what I hear.
Yes, well.
So he dies in it? Is that what you're telling me?
Put a stake in it. It's over.
No. If he died, then he could go on to be in something else.
Yes, that's true. The less said about Nashville, the better. And same thing with American Idol. I would have to say that for us, for at least three out of four of us, Wednesday nights are dominated by the CW. Oh, yes. We have the return of Arrow and Supernatural on the 16th of January. And what's really funny is that I swear for the longest time I heard no one other than just a few of us that watched Arrow. And over the break, I've had tons of people just go, "Have you seen this new show, Arrow?" And I was like, "I've only talked about it how much with people."
Yeah, I've heard about it, yeah.
Yeah, no, not at all. Tell me about it. But even coworkers that normally I would not expect for them to be watching something like that were just gushing over the fall finale as much as we were. So I think that there is definitely a good following for the show out there. And I continue to say that the Arrow Supernatural pair-up on Wednesday nights has really been a good thing for the CW, because I know Supernatural's ratings have gone up a little bit. But
now, go ahead, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I remember you, as we've talked about Supernatural being renewed over the years, there's talk about their budget constantly getting cut and slashed year after year. Is that continuing again this year, as far as you know, or are they actually going to invest any money in this show?
I think that at this stage of the game, the budget is roughly flat, which means that as the cast members' salaries continue to rise at a certain rate, that therefore gets cut out of the production budget accordingly. Right now, I think that they're making the show roughly on the same budget that any of us could make the show, but they have appropriately scaled the storyline down so that it actually fits the budget better than what they tried to do the previous couple years. And we've talked about that a little bit on when we've been doing the shows about the episodes where they've succeeded fairly well doing that in a couple instances where maybe not so much, but this show has done a really good job of constantly reinventing itself. And I think that it's more successful at this process than maybe Smallville was. And I can easily see this show continuing for another couple seasons, because I think CW is not going to let it go until CW itself goes off the air.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. But Arrow is definitely doing very well. It's got a lot of good critical buzz, and I can see this pair-up going for another couple years at least. Certainly, Smallville and Supernatural were paired up for a long time, so I think they see the return of something along the comic book vein, and being able to pair them up is what they probably had in mind from the start when they put another Arrow show out there, or another comic book show out there. Otherwise, on Wednesday nights, let's see, going down the cable thing, is there actually a show called My Grandmother's Ravioli? Really? A whole series called that?
It's so good.
But okay, but just the title itself makes you think that's a one-off. But anyway, moving on. American Horror Story is wrapping up its second season. Then it gives way to a show called The Americans.
Mm-hmm. I can't get a sense of this show. I mean, I've seen, I think, three different promos now, and I still can't get a sense if it's tongue-in-cheek, if it's Le Caire, is it Spies Like Us? Where are they going with this?
Just because it's spy stuff and 80s period, I will be checking in at least for the first couple of episodes to see what's going on. So.
Yeah, it's gotten some good advance word, particularly saying that Kerry Russell has one of her better roles here. But yeah, it's a period piece during the Reagan administration of sleeper agents, I suppose. To probably not exactly the right term for it, but basically embedded espionage agents for the Soviets living in a suburban... It's basically Modern Family with killing. It's what I get.
Yeah. And I've always thought that's what Modern Family needed. So
yeah, a little bit of bloodletting. So yeah, I think it looks interesting. Certainly the way that American Horror Story is going this season, they probably would like to see a nice bump up from that show. Let's see. Otherwise, I'm going down the list of what's on Wednesday nights, and I'm not seeing too much. No. That seems to be the big ticket items. Anything you guys see that I might have missed as I was going down the schedule?
I'm not a fan, but some people watch Psych. It will be back on back in February.
Yeah, season 7.
Jeez, how did that make...
We used to watch that show quite a bit when it first came on. I think that by the time it got to season 4, it felt like it was just retreading itself constantly. And considering that we always go back to the West Wing, it was always so jarring to see Dooley Hill go from Charlie on the West Wing to his character on Psych. It felt like, you know, is this what happens to all interns or staff in the White House when the administration turns over? You know, they just
does.
And become, I don't even know, private investigators. But anyway, that kind of... Mm-hmm. It's kind of run its course, I think. It's almost like How I Met Your Mother, where it kind of has run through all the various permutations of the joke, and now it needs to kind of get to its conclusion. Thursday nights, talking about shows coming to their conclusion. Last Resort will be running out its last few episodes in January, and then it will be followed up in February by a show called Zero Hour. And here's another one of those odd little strange shows. This one is basically... like a secret history show, which I don't know. Those concepts always I find intriguing. And so I definitely think that I'll be giving this at least a little bit of a look. One of the producers is the guy who was behind Prison Break. So I'm wondering if that has a little...
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Paul Schuring, I believe his name was. Mm-hmm. It stars Anthony Edwards, as many people know him from the early days of ER. And there's a few other names on this list that I recognize. Jacinda Barrett, for instance, has been in a few things. Michael Nyquist. Let's see. You were saying?
Dylan Baker. I mean, it's been around for quite a while.
But, yeah. As I said, there's familiar. There's familiar names on the list. So it's another one of these mid-season shows that I think has intriguing possibilities. But I haven't seen too much about the show. I haven't even seen too many comments about the pilot, so I'm not sure what to expect from it, but I'll give it a shot, probably. It won't be at the top of my list, but I'll still give it a shot. Person of interest. Yeah, everyone knows. We love this show. It came back on the 3rd of January, and it came back full cylinders, hitting the ground running.
It's been awesome.
It has. And surprisingly, the show that comes on after that, Elementary, which we all kind of gave a bit of a leery eye towards when it first started.
We gave it the stink eye. We thought it was going to be horrendous, and I've been proven wrong.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that really like the show, and it seems to have improved greatly over the short runs thus far.
The latest episode, episode 12, is very, very comparable to episode 7 of the first season of Person of Interest, which is to say it's the one where things kick up a notch in a big way. Yeah,
the promos suggested that. So
it was easily the best episode of the show yet, and if they keep on this combination of what the showrunner, like the new ideas he's bringing, folding more stuff in from the canon, and then using that to kind of go in a different direction, this could be wind up being a genuinely fantastic show. Like, I'm really hoping this episode is not a one-off in terms of quality.
Well, I think that a lot of people are going to keep an eye on that, because it's a show that should have, by all accounts, not worked, and yet it seems to have overcome a lot of skepticism and is getting a lot of buzz out there. A lot of people are watching it. On NBC, hey, what's that I see there? Bronstum. That can't possibly be right. The fourth season of Community is on starting the 7th of February?
Knocking on wood.
Yeah.
Knocking on wood.
I do notice that they're not showing an actual year next to that date. So, yeah, we have reason to question. But here's hoping, for your sake at least, that it does start up as it should.
Looking forward to the Green Dow 7 coming back. Except then that's not going to quite work. But at least it'll be the Green Dow 6, so there'll be a Lost connection.
There you are. That's also another night of comedy. Parks and Recreation has its fans. The Office continues to die its slow and painful death. Season 9 returns on the 10th of January.
I'm amazed how many shows are coming back that I thought were gone.
Yeah, right? And then there's 1600 Penn, which has the dubious distinction of being a mid-season comedy premiere that has been almost universally panned.
Yeah. I think if you're really, really desperate to see Bill Pullman as the president, go back and watch Independence Day.
Yeah. Yes. Let's just say that Jenna Elfman is on this show.
Wow, that's
how you know that we're having trouble coming. Where we can't even say a good thing, we just have to say something vague. I'll say this about 1600 Penn: they shot it with cameras.
Yeah. There are SAG registered actors in this performance,
or so they say. All right, for those who really want to torture themselves, the fourth season of Glee returns on the 24th of January, and I'll admit, the first season of that show I enjoyed. I thought that the joke was very good. It was very tongue-in-cheek. At this point, over the break, my wife and I watched a film called Pitch Perfect, which by and large out-Glee'd Glee in mocking Glee at the exact same time.
that is accurate review is accurate.
Yeah. It did a great deal to remind us that Anna Kendrick can do more than guest appearances in Twilight films. But moving on, speaking of things that sound like Twilight but aren't, The Vampire Diaries returns on the 17th of January, and as people know, the fourth season has been a bit of a return to form after a slightly misfiring third season, so definitely looking forward to that. And there's even been word that they may be spinning off from that show. Instead of doing a spiritual spin-off like they tried with The Secret Circle, I think they're going to just pull the trigger and go ahead and make a true spin-off, which may give some indication of where things are going with Beauty and the Beast. But at any rate, that's all I'll say about that show, because it really holds no interest to me. I think they talk about it more on Pod Culture. So there you go, another reference for those guys. Moving on to cable, and we have a few shows there that, let's see, it is, I don't know when Burn Notice is coming back. I guess they're not coming back till the summer, which was the one I was going to reference, but I guess that isn't coming back. And maybe after our discussions in the fall, we're all fairly glad to not have to whip that particular horse yet again. Yeah, I'm not seeing a whole lot on cable. Gary, to go back to your original comment, that the networks are really giving us most of the material in the winter and spring, at least at the beginning.
Well, that makes sense to some extent, because that's their, you know, that's been the traditional plot, and the cable shows have been going after the easier ratings, I guess you want to call it, of the, you know, of these non-peak times. So we're seeing a sort of balance, which is just what we talked about, where, you know, they're being innovative in their programming and coming out with a lot of summer shows because they know that they don't have to battle the network for viewers. So they're able to pick up some easy eyes on the TV screen because they don't have competition. Although one thing I did want to mention that's coming back is Archer. The fourth season of Archer is coming back, and it is a spy show, so I imagine Edmund is watching it, or really should, because it's quite witty.
I'm not completely caught up, but I've been watching bits and pieces of it, and yes, it took a little getting used to it first, but I am enjoying it.
Hey, danger zone.
Yeah.
Yeah, as Bronstum is fond of saying, it gives good value. Okay. Yeah. Let's see then. Moving on. Actually, Edmund, you were going to mention something that you saw on the schedule.
Gary beat me to it.
Oh, okay.
He's quicker on the draw that way.
There you go. All right, moving on to Fridays. There's going to be some sadness here. Let's just start with the inevitable. The end of Fringe.
Damn you for saying that. Damn.
I know. By the time that you hear this, it's 2 days. 2 days. Yes, that's right. You can go back to the beginning. And you'll have time to, because they're going to replace Fringe with Touch.
Yes.
Oh, no, why does that have to come back? Oh, jeez, come on.
Exactly. So you'll
sometimes the world is a cruel, cruel place.
Yes, yes it is. All right. Well, we'll then in March, on the 8th of March, have the return of Grimm, which had its own extremely long NBC-driven hiatus.
When is that? March what?
March 8th. Yes.
Yeah. Now, did they I just want to say, curious. Yeah. Now, why do they actually push things this late? They must at least spout some party line as to why they come back this late.
I believe that there is some vague thing about then they can just run one half of the season roughly straight through, and then second half roughly straight through.
Because NBC's plan for Friday nights is pretty much Dateline NBC for like 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
Right.
It's the Dateline marathon, apparently. But no, Grimm is coming back, and I have to say, unlike Revolution, where we had some definite problems and it felt like maybe this is just going to compound it, I really feel like they did a disservice to the show, because they went through all the effort with Grimm to put out the first 4 episodes in late August to try and get a jump on the season. It worked. People came, started watching it. The show was getting much better ratings.
Well, I think they made. I think they changed the tone of the show too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they reworked the show. I mean, they don't use that term, but that's exactly what happened. And they reworked it very well. It became a show for me. I really didn't care for the first season. I found it dull, plotting, and formulaic. And they really shook things up the second season, and they hooked me. But geez, I don't understand why they want to risk giving up audience.
It's really frustrating. What can you do? Another show that is returning for the second half of its third season is Nikita, and we don't consistently watch that show. It's the kind of show where I'm way behind on it. I'm about halfway through the second season right now, and I'm not compelled to really watch the show very often, but when I do watch it, I enjoy it. It's in that really in that very like middle ground with me. It's very odd. But it's a good solid show, and I imagine that they're trying to keep it on the air long enough to recoup something in the syndication rights, but I don't know. I was surprised when it came back for the third season, so but apparently it's still spinning out there. Let's see. This night has a little bit more promising on the cable end, as I can see here. I know there are some people who like Portlandia, so good for them. That third season starts on the 4th of January. But I think that we're going to be spending a little bit more time on Spartacus, the final season of Spartacus.
Finale.
Yes, damn them. But it starts on the 25th of January through April. And I vaguely have a sense of how this story ends. So I have a feeling that it's going to be quite a ride.
Yes.
Speaking of shows coming to their end, Merlin, in its fifth series, is playing on Sci-Fi on Friday nights in Haven's old spot, which is really odd since Haven's last couple episodes will be airing on the 17th, a Thursday night, even though they were running on Fridays. Yeah, yeah, the good way to keep the momentum of your season is to completely mess with it.
For convenience, yes.
And for those who may be interested, they've actually made the episodes available online. I've seen the last two episodes. I need to rewatch the second two of those two episodes because
they're pretty awesome.
Oh my! talk about saving the best for last. But anyhow, Merlin.
Stuff happens.
Yeah, stuff happens. Merlin is spinning out its last season here, and. Well, Ronstam, I know that you're much further into it than I am, but I have to say the show has been kind of up and down along the way, but this fifth season has supposedly given the show a nice send-off.
Fifth season is very solid, and it has a firm ending. Like, it's not a cliffhanger, even though reports seem to vary on whether or not they knew they were getting another season. It seems pretty definitive what the case was by the time you actually get to watching it.
Okay, there you go. Let's see. I believe that's everything that I see here on the schedule for Friday nights, unless someone has seen something I missed. Well, on Showtime, this isn't a show that I'm particularly interested in, but I guess on the 11th of January, they are starting what I guess is their follow-up to Hunted, and that would be Banshee, which is a 10-episode show. This is the Alan Ball show, the one that he left True Blood to go make.
This is an Alan Ball show on Cinemax about an Amish sheriff.
You know, it almost begs somebody to watch it just to see how incredibly.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it a look in. I think.
Mm-hmm. You know,
well,
the first season of any Alan Ball show is usually okay and pretty good. It's only after that he starts to constantly repeat himself and go into depressingly bad mode. But yeah.
Yeah, it is actually Cinemax, not Showtime, but yeah, it is sitting on my DVR right now, you know, because, you know, after Strike Back and Hunted, I was kind of intrigued to see because I mean, it's Amish Sheriff, but it's actually I believe it's an escaped convict who is posing as an Amish Sheriff.
Oh, okay. That's better.
Oh, well, that's...
Yeah, all right.
So naturally it fits into the, you know, wanton sex and violence genre that Cinemax seems to be creating for itself.
Sure. Well, if you've got to find a niche, I guess that's one. Okay. Saturday nights, as usual, for all intent and purposes, are really just not very good for our kind of shows. However, there is a little bit of an island, if you will. And that would be BBC America. They're not showing Doctor Who on Saturday nights just yet. But they do have right now, I guess, starting on the 19th, a little show called Ripper Street, which you can imagine what that's about. And it's got some interesting names attached to it. And then that is followed up by another genre show called Orphan Black, which I believe is something of a clone mystery.
Yes.
I'll just put it that way.
That's all we really know it.
Yeah, exactly. That's all we really know about it. For those who are looking for genre material of a British flair, then Saturday nights will be for you. And Ripper Street starts, like I said, on the 19th of January, and then Orphan Black starts on the 30th of March. But, okay, so the 7th and final day of the week on our schedule is Sunday. And, wow, it's always got a lot going on. Once Upon a Time returned on the 6th of January, and in fact, our next show will be talking about that winter return. So look forward to that, I'm sure. Let's see, beyond that, we have The Good Wife coming back on the 6th of January as well for fans of that show. And, well, there's a little show coming back in February on the 10th. You might have heard of it. Second half of Season 3 of The Walking Dead. Yeah, I can't imagine that we're going to feel the need to talk about that at all.
No.
Maybe.
We might see what happens.
And so we're going to bump Real Housewives of Atlanta to talk about The Walking Dead?
It's a possibility.
Okay, I'll pencil it in. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and then on the 31st of March, there's another show that, you know, we might want to talk about. The third season of Game of Thrones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I know what our 9 o'clock schedule is going to be for the winter and then the spring.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Double check the DVR. I got you. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Now on History Channel, of all things, I mentioned this in passing, but on the 3rd of March, there is going to be the show Vikings, which is notable perhaps because it is made by the same people that made The Tudors. So, it being on the History Channel, I doubt that it's going to have quite as much skin going on, but it is the Vikings, so could be fun. Gabriel Byrne, Jesselyn Gilzig, I think that's how you say her name. You've got a whole bunch of people with Scandinavian names on this show, so yeah, it sounds interesting. I always like a period piece, so there you go. Let's see, beyond that, for fans of Showtime's material, we've got Shameless coming back. I believe it may have already come back on the 13th of January. And then you've got also House of Lies Season 2 and the 6th season of Californication. I'm kind of detecting a theme there. Just saying. But hey, anyone who remembers when Emmy Rossum was, you know, that somewhat prim and proper musical actress, watch Shameless. Any episode of Shameless. Yeah, anyway. Let's see. Oh, and then, of course, let's face it, the show that we really want to see on 9 o'clock Sunday nights.
Don't go there. Don't go there. Please don't go there.
Okay. No, here comes Honey Boo Boo.
He went there.
I can't believe that this is actually on the air. America, what have you done? That's all I'm going to say. Can we all move to the burning plains of Australia already? Please.
They're actually not burning right now. They're actually it's raining.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
raining fire.
No, surprisingly.
Ah.
No cats and dogs. No cats and dogs. No men.
Well, wait. You had floods. Now you had fire. What? I'd watch out for frogs if I were you. I'm just
exactly.
saying.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, okay. I
live in Queensland, so
I have to bring this up because this might actually trump the Honey Boo Boo reference. Because, there's so much awesome on Sunday nights, apparently they have to offset it with something. On DIY Network, there is the third season of the Vanilla Ice Project. Yes, Vanilla Ice. The 90s...
And yes, it is that Vanilla
yes,
Ice.
Yes, the 90s, quote-unquote, pop icon.
Well, he was everywhere for a while.
Has a show about hardcore home renovations.
Could I watch Ice Loves Coco?
Is he collaborating?
What?
Is he collaborating?
I think so. I think he has an entire crew.
So he takes a This Old House episode and then just plays it faster and then calls it his, right?
It's even
okay.
apparently the
no,
second
no, no, no.
season
they're
premiere.
Totally, they're totally different. See, the ending is a
yeah. The second season premiere was apparently called Ice My House. I can't make this stuff up, people. Really. For those who make fun of Game of Thrones, I present you the Vanilla Ice Project. We win. Okay. All right. But that's it for our rundown of the shows that are on in the winter and early spring. I'm sure there will be some changes as we go along and we rush towards the season's conclusion in May and June. But those are the highlights as we see them. And we mentioned a few lowlights as well for your edification. So any last thoughts on this fall spring season, guys?
Hannibal's supposed to premiere sometime.
Yeah, sometime.
Yeah.
Yes.
Notice its complete absence from this. Yeah. From this, I've looked
it's
up a lot of information.
Show. I think if it got a good deal from the network, we'd all be very suspicious.
Oh, it's a Brian Fuller show. Oh, yes. So basically, unlike Mockingbird Lane, it's already been canceled.
Right.
They just haven't told us yet. No, Hannibal is supposed to air at some point, but they have yet to actually give it a premiere date. So mm-hmm. Who knows? It'll probably be counter-programmed against Game of Thrones just to make sure that it has the worst possible
competition. Probably.
Yeah.
But if you really want to get the right frame of mind, you can watch the other shows that are set in the same universe as Hannibal, Wonderfalls and Pushing Daisies.
Yes.
because they all exist in a shared universe. Yeah, Hannibal Lecter exists in the same universe as Ned the Pie Maker.
Yeah,
just,
there you go.
Just chew on that for a while.
Yeah. Why do you think Ned's so good?
Nice choice of words for Hannibal there, Bronstein. I like that. All right. Any other thoughts, Edmund?
I wish they would realize that we'd like to watch TV on times other than Friday and Sunday at 9.
Yeah. I hear you. But hey, Fox is doing their part by putting Touch on. I'll just remind everybody of that little gem. How about you, Gary? Any last thoughts?
No, although honestly, I'm just a little surprised at how many shows that everyone pretty much acknowledges are poor, that aren't getting good ratings, are actually coming back. And yeah, we could harp on things that we're going to miss Fringe and stuff like that, but you know, so a lot of our shows are coming to planned ends, so there is that redeeming aspect of it. But you know, they talk about wanting to take chances, yet they hold on to such poor shows. it just still amazes me.
Yeah, I hear you. And then there are shows that maybe they're not the height of quality, but at least have potential and promise that get cut down before they even have the chance to really even explore that, while other shows are on for season after season after season. I'm looking at you, Grey's Anatomy. Anyhow, that's it. That's our wrap-up for the winter and spring season. Thank you, gentlemen, for all your help for this episode. And definitely, if you want to give us some comments, you can follow us on Twitter at Critical Myth, or you can go and like our page on Facebook. Again, that's Critical Myth.
You can give us feedback by visiting the website over at www.criticalmyth.com. Just check out the entries for the show and leave us a comment. If you can't find it, just go all the way up to the top of the page. There's a link there, and there is also a drop-down box for all of the shows we talk about. So please let us know what you think.
Or you can go over to the VOG Network page and go over to the forums, and we have a dedicated forum for this show. You can leave comments there for us.
You can also email your feedback to feedback@criticalmyth.com, or you can leave us a review on iTunes.
Or you can call our Google voicemail line at 908-977-MYTH. That's 908-977-6984.
And don't forget that Critical Myth's use of any and all copyright material is only intended for parody, news analysis, critique, or for educational purposes, as provided within United States Code Title 17, also known as the Fair Use Act. Please don't sue us.
And the comments and opinions of the Critical Myth podcasters and reviewers are not necessarily those of its distributors, partners, or affiliates. But let's face it, we're probably right anyway. So until next time...